Delete. This episode of Nerd and Tie is sponsored by Zach Fisher. That's right, Zach Fisher. He's an awesome human being and better than you. But if you'd like to be as cool as Zach Fisher, you too can sponsor Nerd and Tie. Just go to nerdandtie.com.
We are going to be talking about Avengers Age of Ultron with the biggest panel you've ever assembled. That's right, our own podcast Avengers Assemble on this very special edition of Bird and Tie.
We almost heard Nick there.
And I'm excited.
Barely happened. We did it though. We got through it. It took us long enough.
Indeed.
Oh, man.
Nick?
So is gonna Nick, you gonna introduce us, buddy?
Yeah, I need to be louder. All right. Oh, sorry. I didn't know we were still. Okay. So anyway, welcome everyone to a very special edition of Nerd and Tie, which is already off to a fantastic start, which has involved video issues and arguing over who is our father of the year. I of course am Nick Izumi. Keep saying, "Hey, Nick." Joining me as always is
The silence.
Prepid and flustered Trey Dorn.
I'm here. I swear to God, I am here. I am attempting to maintain sanity on all levels. Oh my God.
Also, as always, is the equally intrepid and known for all sorts of comedy ventures, my partner in crime, Christopher Professor Fursters.
I am here, and you just called me Christopher. That is all kinds of messed
weird.
Up.
Weird.
I know it.
It's almost like it's your name.
It's weirder because I can actually like see things on my video feed. This is already a weird episode,
and it's even weirder
because we have three. Count them, three guest panelists on the show. Starting with the person who's actually in the room with me is Raina Innocenti.
Hi there. I'm a girl.
She is.
I said that last time too.
Also joining us this week from the Famicom Dojo podcast, the one and only Sean Orange.
What's up?
I'm actually wearing orange. This is interesting.
It's amazing.
Total coincidence.
Okay. Well said, Sean.
All right.
And not videoing, but a regular from our. From our letter section, Random Ramblings Man is here with us.
Also known as usually the only guy in the chat room.
You can't see my straw hat, but it's floppity, it's rickety, and it's beautiful.
Which is weird, because I think I specifically said in the chat room that floppity hats are not allowed. So, Sean, you shouldn't even be wearing that mess right now.
Oh, dear.
It's on.
So, we have gotten an Avengers-sized panel together to talk about Avengers 2, The Age of Ultron.
We even have a girl also.
Yeah, no, it's the right Marvel, it's the right Marvel ratio, right? Five guys, one girl?
Does that make you the Hulk? So, yeah, it's just like a Marvel movie.
Now the viewers at home saw the opening image over the sponsor page, which showed that Random's the Hulk.
Which makes perfect sense because I have terrible anger issues.
But I'm more Clint than anyone. I do archery.
I'm the archery man.
I'm actually really angry that I wasn't tonight. Black Widow, because I think I've got just as good of a body as Scarlett Johansson, to be honest. Like,
everyone's getting muted for 2 seconds here.
I'm perfect with my picture because I'm Captain. And everyone knows I'm Captain.
And we keep losing the left channel audio for you guys. It's so
yay. Oh, well, we're going to.
Oh, now it's all back. If I hold my hand like. If I hold the cable like this with my right hand, sound works great.
Oh, perfect. Well, don't move it.
I figured out the point, and it happens to be the ground loop suppressor that I lent to Sean Orange during his panel, and it worked fine before that.
Thanks.
I thought you said you weren't using
Sean.
That. Oh, I see what you're saying.
So, Age of Ultron, special guys. This is big. Oh, yeah. It's good to have all of us here.
Yeah, it was pretty big.
It only opened a couple days ago, so we're getting this fresh out to the internet.
And everybody, please remember that, like our previous specials for other movies, this thing is going to be full of spoilers.
Why are you even listening to this if you haven't even seen the
movie? If you have not seen the movie,
stop now.
Turn away.
Go. It is worth seeing. I'll say it's worth seeing at least once.
It is worth seeing. That's why we're doing a whole special about it.
I will also say it is worth seeing.
So definitely go see it. But if you haven't seen it yet, turn it off. Turn off the podcast right now. Maybe go see it. If you can't see it tonight, I don't know, watch something. Watch Daredevil on Netflix. Go listen to Famicom Dojo. Go watch a Nick Azumi show. Go read some Unconventional. Do whatever.
Watch the Nick Azumi show.
Just don't listen to this because we don't want to ruin it for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
Go listen to the live episode from No Brand Con.
Or don't.
Because
it's... just go drink for an hour. That'd be a good idea. That'd be...
We did not actually tell you to drink for an hour. That was your choice.
Was it, though?
That was your life choice, my friend.
And I'd like to apologize to the video listeners at home who keep losing audio on one channel. The audio version of the podcast, I can correct that and fix that. But for you video viewers, I have to fix it live. So
not going to happen. But we had a lot to talk about Age of Ultron. Where do we even start with a movie that was the result of about 2.5 years of other movies?
Just a little bit.
And 2.5 hours long, where do we begin to unpack this?
How about we start from the very beginning?
Well, we could probably.
Well, why don't I start out, so I can, as Trey pointed out,
opening thoughts.
Why don't I start off just so I can subtly fix the audio while talking at the same time?
That's a great idea, because Trey. Why don't you do that?
I'm going to just do this, and while I talk about it, I'm going to say that Age of Ultron was, in all effects, a very entertaining film. Can you guys say something so I can hear you?
Yeah, I agree. Entertaining is the word that I would use.
Yeah, it was an entertaining film.
I wouldn't necessarily say it was a great film or a good film, but it was definitely a Marvel movie.
I would definitely not call it great.
It was solidly mediocre.
When I saw Age of Ultron initially,
I agree with Sean. It was solidly mediocre.
I saw it, I was blown away. But now that I've had time to think about it, it definitely has a few flaws that needed to be addressed.
Well, not even just necessarily really a few. And I mean, like, now that we have opening thoughts out of the way, and hopefully Trey's got his... Trey's got the issues worked out.
No, but
we can keep going with it. But let's start from the beginning. I think is a good place to start. Now, of course, it opens. We have the assault on Hydra. That's going on. Boy, did they drop us into this movie fast. That was a heavy drop.
Yeah,
I kind of liked
the pacing.
Though.
I did.
The opening is very mixed for me because a lot happens before there are even credits. I mean, like, before we even have the title, we're dropped in the deal from there, I'd say. It just kind of keeps go. You don't get breathing room, really.
You get breathing room in one scene, in all of one scene, and that's about it.
Hawkeye Ranch.
No, I was going to say party.
Oh, okay.
Because there's nothing important happening there.
Well, it was hard for me in the beginning, and maybe people agree with me on this. And I said this walking out of the movie, like, right away. This movie's about to make $30 kajillion between box office sales and merchandising and everything else.
Okay, yes.
Can't we get some better CG at the beginning of the movie?
I had no problem.
Good God, the CG was bad.
Really? I disagree.
It took me out of it. I couldn't do it.
CG
like
CG better all over the place?
I had no problem with the beginning of the movie. even though I was dropped in, I just didn't have a problem with it. I was up to speed on everything.
What was wrong with the CG? I don't.
Yeah, I don't understand what was wrong with the CG.
I didn't see anything wrong with it.
I thought it was all very poorly rendered. I thought
it
and
was
I'm with Fur. I thought it looked hokey. When we finally got to Ultron himself, he looked like a Transformers Prime character.
What?
I get that there's a lot of stuff going on in the beginning of the movie and in that action scene. It's action packed. It's balls to the wall. There's a lot of stuff going on. But like, it just some of the movements of the characters just took me out of it for a minute. Thor is jumping up on like the guard tower and swinging his hammer around, and I'm just like, this is not great CG.
I'll agree with you on that. That did look very unnatural.
This
whole thing's off the rails
like,
already.
When they did that,
are you
insane?
It'd
be great if I could hear Nick. It'd be great if I could hear Nick.
But
that was like the only thing that I had with really the first scene with being dropped in and the CGI issues, because it was a great action scene. All of the Avengers, it's so cool to see them on screen doing stuff. You got the Hulk heavily involved, and honestly, Mark Ruffalo as the Hulk, like his actions and the motion cap and stuff like that is pretty darn good. Like, just to be able to see like his face on the Hulk is good stuff.
I thought almost that entire scene was just really hokey looking, though.
I did not think that there was anything wrong with the opening scene. The opening scene was meant to establish that the Avengers are going out on missions and are performing on a regular basis, and I thought that effectively conveyed that. I didn't think that there was any problem with the opening scene.
Agreed.
I have lots of problems with the first third of the movie in the Ultron introduction and things like that, but I have no problem with that opening scene. It was a solid introductory action scene. I don't understand. I don't know what you guys saw. I saw this on a pretty big screen.
I saw this on an IMAX screen.
I went to a drive-in and like was in the second row, so I had pretty detailed view of every inch of this movie. And I do not know what you're saying.
You saw it at the only theater in town.
I'm not saying I hated it. I just said like right away, just like to get like dropped into it. There was literally no time for me to be like, all right, let's do this. Like you look at the first Avengers movie, right? And there's like literally just about any Marvel movie, and there's at least some general establishing thing going on before we get a huge action sequence. And it would have been nice to maybe have an extra 2 minutes of like establishing what's about to happen and what's going on to say like, are you guys ready? Are you ready for this? Cool, let's do this. Like I felt it was really weird. Pacing was wrong to like kick the movie off with the first thing literally being Thor and Iron Man coming in and blowing things away.
Well, I'll say I agree with Trey that it, from the story perspective, that it worked well. Like, I'm glad to know that the team has still been doing their thing and fighting Hydra. That's good. I just thought it was like hell. That's my.
And I'm of the belief that a story should be able to be told visually, especially in a visual medium, and for it to look like complete and utter garbage to me, it's terrible. And I honestly think that
Sean Corse's head is going to explode.
Yeah, I have so many complaints, but like this is not one of them.
Yeah.
The opening sequence was still fine to me.
It was still
no
great.
Complaint.
Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not saying it was bad. It was still good. I just thought that there was some really hokey CG moments in it.
My God, you people!
Did you think that Quicksilver speed was
okay?
Trey, Sean,
Like I'm almost like be like random ramblings man face would be the same as Trey's and Sean's right now. It's like this. Oh my god, what are we thinking?
I'm just gonna apologize to the video viewers that you're stuck with channel out of one sound because I was getting a ground loop and I tried to correct the left audio. So we're just gonna go with it because for the audio podcast I can switch it to mono and we're fine. So for the technical difficulties, video viewers, I don't know if I'll be able to fix it for you. We'll find out.
But I will say though about the beginning scene that like right away the dialogue is on point.
Yeah.
Right away the dialogue is sharp, and that's what I love about Joss Whedon written things is that he's got a way to start sharp with dialogue and keep it going the whole way through.
Yeah, it's I think overall the film was still good, but I feel like my major problem with the film, so since we're apparently jumping to cons and abandoning everything.
I thought we were just picking it apart bit by bit here.
That's the way I was going.
But to say that...
If we do it scene by scene, though, we'll be here for 4 hours.
Yeah, we will. We will. Overall, I like the film a lot, but I do feel it was much weaker than the first Avengers movie or Guardians of the Galaxy, and I'll tell you why. And it's the Ultron plot in the beginning. It's we go straight from Ultron being this theoretical idea to suddenly Ultron exists. And while it works narratively well enough, it does lose any sort of like emotional impact of like the build up to Ultron. There's no like months of it working correctly. Even if it had already been running the Iron Legion at the beginning of the film, I think it would have been more impactful. And so that whole first third of the movie felt like it was super rushed. And what I felt like really, okay. So while I think that Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver were handled really well within the film, I think that they were, you could have done the movie without them and spent that half hour of backstory time and characterization on Ultron and made him a decent villain instead. And this is actually, I highly suspect that Marvel had a lot to do with this and not necessarily Joss Whedon, that Marvel wanted these characters put into the movie so they could be, you know, so Scarlet Witch could be used later. Not necessarily right. Quicksilver, but right. they did that so Scarlet Witch could be used later, and that was the more important part for the... I feel like the needs of the Marvel Cinematic Universe overrode the narrative needs of the film in that case. And that's where my money about what happens.
I agree. It's
I think that's plus. A lot of the problems with the movie. It's a lot like Iron Man 2 in that it's very concerned with setting up the next 3 or 4... Marvel movies rather than making a good Avengers movie right now.
I've always thought it was possible to make a good Marvel movie while also setting up for future Marvel movies, but it just seemed with Age of Ultron, more of a checklist.
This one...
We lost Nick there again, but I mean, I agree.
And I'm not saying that you can't do that, because the other movies have done it perfectly well.
We can hear you. You're fine. Keep going.
I guess from what I'm understanding too is that Joss Whedon, a lot of what he wanted to do was taken away, and he was basically told by Marvel and Feige that no, you've got to do this. This has to happen. And there are definitely points where you can tell that Whedon wanted to develop more of a certain idea, but was unable to because of the demands that were put on him by Marvel and Feig and the greater Marvel universe.
He resorted to terrible Joss Whedon dialogue.
What? What is wrong with you? The dialogue's the best part of Joss Whedon. The dialogue was perfect.
It was great. The dialogue and the acting was some of the best part of the movie. Are you kidding me?
There were some lines that made me cringe. I'll just say that. There are some lines that made me cringe.
There was literally one line that made me cringe, and I really thought it was inappropriate to have in the movie where Tony says, if I do this, I'm going to bring back Prima Nocta, and there's a historical thing about that that really bugs me that they put that in the movie.
But
like, other than that, the dialogue
sounds like something stupid Tony would say.
exactly. But the dialogue was sharp and on point, and the acting, which is weird for me to say, was one of the best parts of this movie. You can tell that these actors are having fun doing this.
Agreed. I'm going to say that Aaron Taylor Johnson and Liz Olsen had a lot more to work with than in Godzilla.
Yes.
They were great. I love the acting in this movie. Rena, what are you on?
Yes.
Yeah.
Standards?
Oh,
I can't hear anything because my headphones are now disconnected.
Oh,
I'm trying. I have all these notes here.
Sean hasn't had a chance to speak yet. We should probably give Sean a chance.
I don't know where to come in. I have all these notes, and it's like I can't say anything positive at this point because everyone's just all over this thing. I
really like the movie.
Okay.
I still really like the movie.
I liked it too.
But let's discuss
what Sean wants to discuss. Sean hasn't said anything.
What does Sean want to discuss? I have no idea what Sean wants to discuss. All right. I liked the part where they got into everyone's heads. You know, we got to see their fears, and you know, Tony's was pretty good. If you'd seen Iron Man 3, you already knew what that was. Caps was pretty good. He got his last dance finally. Tear. We didn't see some people.
We didn't see Hawkeye because he just shoved an electric arrow into Scarlet Witch's head because he's sick of people playing
with
his
pride.
Ones for any characters who don't have their own movies. I mean, in Hawkeye's case, you got to see throughout the film.
His own movie.
What's that?
Hulk has his own movie.
It was this one.
We got to see inside of Hulk's head, not like the dream, but we saw the result of it, and we did get to see Black Widow's though.
Yeah, I felt like this movie did a great thing, and that was give us a lot of Black Widow and Hawkeye, who are the two characters, of course, who have never had their own films. Right. So,
I feel like it did a lot of favors for Hawkeye, but not for Widow.
None for Widow.
What?
I didn't really like what they did for her.
I'm going to say this right now.
Hulk-Tasha can just sink below the waves.
Hulk-Tasha was I'm a big fan of this. I never thought I would be, but
I liked it.
It's you have two characters who are like view themselves as monsters, you know.
But you didn't have to do anything romantic with them.
But why not?
It was gross. It should have just been a good friendship, not a relationship.
Why not? Why not? Why
the
can't
screen time spent on other things? Because every movie has a romance, and it's not going to hurt us to have a have an action movie that
but
doesn't
it
have
doesn't
a
hurt
romance
us to have it.
I don't think Black Widow would be too concerned
actually,
with
it
romance.
Does hurt us to have.
I think she's more concerned with trying to, you know, try to be a good person.
This is like the Fox News of Nerd and Tie episode.
We can't
publish this
episode. Oh. Rayna, why does it actually affect things? Why does it hurt? I want to hear your take on this to know why you think the Bruce and Natasha thing actually drags things down. And there's a lot of issues I had. With the Black Widow storyline, I thought that they maybe used her more as a crutch and she didn't really get a chance to shine on her own. But that's different. But why does the Bruce Natasha storyline hurt Natasha?
It comes out of left field. Two, there's like absolutely nothing in that relationship that makes it make sense. They have completely different ideologies. And that's
have you ever had it for someone
really
who was totally unlike you?
To have in a relationship. It's not a settle kind of thing, because that's what it feels like. Yes, and I've seen it explode in someone's face.
I don't know.
Right. And it didn't
totally
work out for them
you,
either.
Let me tell you why I liked it. And
sorry.
Yes, but we both like the same ropes.
Let me tell you why I liked it, and it's going to start out with one, it didn't work out. That's actually one of the reasons why I liked it a lot, because what it, in my opinion, it like, you take a look at Natasha and, She's a person who is effectively was turned into an assassin, views herself as a monster, and looks upon her life as herself as a monster. And she's, even though she has left her ways as an assassin and has gone to a, you know, more heroic, like, good guy place in her life, she still holds on to that past. And everyone she's met, again, turns out to be a warrior, a soldier, even Captain America, who is arguably one of the, you know, more like, you know, pure people in the world, is still a soldier. He's still a soldier. And so it's her attraction to Bruce as someone who also views himself as a monster but doesn't want to be one is really clear. But the reason why it doesn't work out is because Natasha's at the point where she has accepted that she was a monster while Bruce is still battling with that actively. And so that's, again, why they were doomed to never work out. It's the attraction makes perfect sense to me because, frankly, Mark Ruffalo is a very handsome man. And
He is pretty dreamy.
That's up to opinion. As a woman, he's a hideous human being.
I find him quite attractive. So Raina, you are like the only person I've ever met who does not find him attractive, and that's fine. Everyone's allowed different taste, but a large percentage of the population would agree that he's attractive.
I used to think Benedict Cumberbatch was attractive. So.
Well, we don't need to bring Benedict into this.
Well, again.
A lot of people also say that Loki's attractive, so a lot of people are wrong.
So
these are all okay. It doesn't. Your personal preference in men does not reflect on the population as a whole. But that's not the point. But that's not the point. The point is that
is that they and to say that it comes out of nowhere. It's been coming since the first Avengers movie. That's like there was that whole scene in the movie where she says, "Would you have sent me to recruit him?"
Well, like, I think there's really clear tension between the two in the first Avengers movie. It's,
it's a very angry, you know, radioactive man who hasn't had a lay in a long time.
I think you're being real. No, I disagree with you entirely there. No.
Are you sure that's safe for you to disagree, Nick?
Scarlet, I hate her until Wanda shows up.
Yeah.
I think
I hate the women
Sean
of the
talk because Sean clearly has something to say, but we keep cutting him off.
Sean, why don't you say something?
I liked how their relationship ended because that's like a very like Hulk Bruce, like it's a Bill Bixby Hulk thing to do. Dun, like dun, he did that dun, all dun, the time. Like in my head, when he was flying away, I heard the music playing. I thought, this is perfect.
Exactly. Same here. I saw the movie with Amy Quinlan and Gen Proc, two listeners and a Tiger Net production writers. And like I like leaned over and I was like, to Amy.
You know, I actually didn't think of that, but it fits perfectly with the scene. With
Stop, guys. For some reason, we haven't had that problem in a really long time. The show stopped recording for a second, so you may now resume talking.
So
okay, I didn't think of it when I saw Hulk flying off in the Quinjet, but now that I think of it, the music hits perfectly.
Well, and that's what it is. There's always been that sort of Bruce feeling. I mean, in the second Ultimate Avengers book, correct me if I'm wrong. It's been a while since I've read it. Didn't they use Black Widow to lure him onto the fighter or the carrier when they nuked it to try and kill the Hulk?
Was it Black Widow? I don't remember.
I didn't read the Ultimate comic, so I can't tell you.
I've never read an Ultimate Marvel book in my life.
It was good. I liked it, but like the romance makes sense, and if we're gonna have a problem with something that they did with Black Widow, let's not make it that. Because there was nothing wrong, with that. There's a lot more wrong with Black Widow in the movie. Well, there was a lot where I felt where they took a really possibly great character and they put her in a lot of helpless situations that she wouldn't need to be in.
They damsel and distressed her a lot. That pissed me off.
They made me like her less, and that was surprising.
Yeah, if it hadn't been for like Captain America 2, then maybe they could have gotten away with this. But she was such a badass in that movie that it's like
exactly.
Well, I really
it's worse.
I only really felt like there was one scene where she got like totally damseled, and that was obviously with the grabbing, like when Ultron grabbed her when they were like the Visions box thingy.
Yeah, and they had her locked up and stuff, but I still felt like they took her in a direction that maybe wasn't as where she was originally going. Like, I get that we got a lot of her backstory and stuff, but it made her feel helpless.
Like this, and this after she like risked her own life in Cap 2.
You know what? I guess the difference is, and from the way I see it, is what you guys are seeing as making her weak is what I see as humanizing her, because I think this film did a lot to humanize Black Widow and Hawkeye and allowed them to be a bit more vulnerable than they have been before. And what you guys are seeing as weakness, I'm merely seeing as character development, understanding the backstory. Like, I don't think finding out that a character regrets something or is sad about something from their past makes them weaker in the moment.
No, not at all. That's not what we're saying.
Yeah.
I'm just referring specifically to like how in Captain America 2, she risked her own life.
Not saying it's a weakness.
Can we not cut Sean off? Like,
yeah, let Sean talk.
We're constantly doing this.
His podcast is more popular than ours. We're advertising that he's on this show.
Let's not pull that card, please. The problem I have is that after a movie where she like risked her own life, like she might have died rather than become a prisoner to be used in that way. And it worked out fortunately for her, but like that's the kind of person she was, and she didn't. Well, I guess she didn't have a choice in this case, but it's just like it was hard to see after she had been had so much agency last time we saw her on screen.
Yeah,
that's all. The relationship stuff, like her past, I agree. I feel like it humanized her more. Like someone did complain that it's like, oh, her big dark secret is she can't have babies. No, that's not her big dark secret. It's just that she has thoughts about her future and how she can fit in society, and well, it's like they took something away from her that she can't get
exactly
back.
Exactly. And you know, it's, you have to remember that her best friend is Hawkeye, so she's been like an aunt to his kids who apparently exist.
Yeah, that came out of nowhere.
Let me tell you, when the instant Hawkeye's family walked on screen, I got really scared, and I'll tell you why. Because I was
in Ultimates they get killed by
right so in it's the following thoughts went through my brain the instant Hawkeye's family showed up. Is the first thought was, oh my god, are they humanizing Hawkeye so they can kill his family? Like, are they gonna fridge the family like they did in the Ultimate Universe? And so that was the first thought that went through my head.
Hawkeye.
But the second thought was like, no, Joss Whedon will do lots of things, but he doesn't like fridging people, but he loves humanizing people right before he murders them.
I think it was the intention stuff, because right up until the end, we were supposed to think he was the one that was going to bite it.
Well,
I want to say that Hawkeye's family was one of the best parts of the movie.
Oh, actually, yeah. I feel like when they get to the farm, that's when the rails came back. Like, that's when the movie got back on the rails
settled down.
Because I feel like the first third of the movie before that was like everything was rushed and everything was like just boom, 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 boom. And I was really getting worried the whole movie was going to be like that. And then the instant they get to Hawkeye's, like, that's the instant they got to Hawkeye's farm, it's suddenly everything. I put up the wrong lower third for me. I'm apparently live at No Brand Con on the video. I'm Trey Dorn. There we go.
Rancho de Hawkeye was a great scene.
Yeah.
I really
enjoyed that. And that's I felt like the movie, like if you go straight to like the ranch at Hawkeye scene, I think that a lot of the stuff with Black Widow starts making sense, because the kids know her, so she's known about this whole thing for a long time, and so that's why she's thinking, you know, Hawkeye's wife being pregnant, she's thinking about the fact that she can't have a family, which, as much as, you know, I think that draws into kind of a deeper characterization.
You know, the more and more I think about it, the more and more I want to weep for Black Widow, because I think about what was taken away from her, and it just stabs me right in the heart.
Yeah, and it's also why I think she's really close with Steve. Like, and Captain America, because he's had so much of what, you know, taken away from him, and I think that's why those two characters are good friends.
Black Widow seems to bond with people that have had things taken away from her because she's had things taken away from her and seeking out others that have also had things taken away from them. It's easier for her to empathize with them, which makes me wonder how she bonds with Hawkeye so well, because he hasn't really had anything taken away from him that we know about.
Well, he has spare kids. She could take one
of
those.
His family life.
Now, Nick, or sorry, Raina, you had a thought. Nick or Raina had a thought.
Daily life with his family taken away. His security of being alive with his children.
Mm-hmm. That's a big thing.
I'm sorry,
we cut off Sean again.
No, it's fine. I had my quip and I was done. I just didn't want to talk about anyone else myself. No, I'm good.
Now,
Sean is just actively making a teepee for his secrets.
Yep. Now, Nick, you were saying something.
Oh my god, Nick has been replaced by a Transformer. Run!
Sorry. Yeah, I.
Oh no.
No, you guys are fine. Keep going.
Okay, anyway, I am going to be in that minority that was a really. I'm not comfortable with the whole Black Widow losing her ability to reproduce. I know, I understand what you guys are talking about, and yes, that is a strong way of using the character development, but it's also a really common trope used in just
a lot of things.
In really uncomfortably kind of misogynist things, and I'm not totally comfortable with it. I'm super not comfortable with it. Even if they use it well, I'm not comfortable with it.
Counterpoint. Is that when they were showing the procedure that she went through, it didn't even occur to me it could be that. Like, I was thinking superhero stuff, like they gave her bionic legs or something, you know? And when it would be, when it was like mundane instead.
She's sterilized.
Yeah.
Well, he gets
that. I got it eventually.
He understood it when they said it.
Yeah. But before they said what it was, I was like, oh, you know, terrible.
Well, I knew that's what was happening. But then again, most of the women in my life had already gone through that, and it's not that big of a deal.
Well, it's a big of a deal for some people.
I'm sorry. It's not that big of a deal.
It's a big deal for some
people. I know some people it was a big deal for, so why don't we not discuss whether or not it's a big deal for somebody?
Let's not, no.
That, I believe, is outside the purview of this conversation.
How about we talk of happier things, like how...
Like Quicksilver getting shot, no.
Talk about the Rancho to Hawkeye scene and how, like, I like...
that part.
Before that scene, and I wish I could remember the country's name. It's escaping me right
Wakanda?
Now. Wakanda. How great it is that we're setting up for the Black Panther, and how freaking great Andy Serkis was being introduced as the Claw, and how great that's going to be. Oh!
I didn't know who that character was very well.
Andy Serkis was just amazing. He dominated the screen when he showed up.
Nick only realized it when we saw the credits.
I didn't get that character at all. I thought he was just kind of like, what the hell?
You know, I admittedly didn't.
Comic book distributor.
I didn't get it because I'm not familiar with the character.
Well, I knew he was someone important because someone had mentioned that they saw like a still in a promo or something like that, or it was like leaked ahead of time. So I knew he was a character in something, but you know, I don't really know anything about him. So like when after the movie was over, I asked my friend who I was with, I was like, is there any significance to him losing his arm? It's like, yeah, it's going to be replaced with a claw. And I'm like,
basically we're pretty much seeing the main villain for the Black Panther movie.
Yeah.
I'm assuming because they kept Andy Serkis's role really hush hush. Like people are like, oh, Andy Serkis is going to be in this. I bet you he's going to be doing a lot of motion capture stuff, and I'm sure they had him do it because it's Andy Serkis. But he was also, I mean, his character of the Claw is pretty big in the Black Panther universe in terms of all the smuggling of the vibranium and basic forced workitude of the people of Wakanda.
Yeah. It's
whatever they do with Claw, it's got to be better than what they did with Strucker, though. Because
that was disappointing.
That was disappointing.
That was basically a glorified cameo. Come on, Marvel.
Strucker was an absolute.
Come on.
Like,
Thomas Kretschmann is one of my favorite German actors. He had more characterization as Strucker in that credit in that mid-credit scene of the Winter Soldier than he did in the entirety of Age of Ultron. Come on, Marvel. Come on.
Yeah, I think the bad guy whose name escapes me, also Hydra agent from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Had better characterization than this guy.
You're either talking about Grant Ward or
no.
John Garrett?
No. List or Whitehall.
Whitehall, yeah.
Whitehall, yeah. It's, I will say, okay, so am I the only one who is secretly betting that Fox and Marvel had a conversation about Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch about who would get which character?
You can keep one.
I'm totally convinced that happened.
Because, okay, so obviously, spoiler, it's... I see some people theorizing that Quicksilver didn't die. It looks really obvious that he was dead, but it's true. It is true.
They have that lovely Deus Ex Machina that they introduced earlier in the movie that can just...
He
dies before they get to it. So I think he's dead. I think he's going to stay dead. But Marvel does have a common thing of someone's dead, but not really. Phil Coulson. Tahiti doesn't exist anymore.
Quicksilver kind of got pumped full of maybe 1,000 Gatling gun rounds. I don't know how he can walk away from
No, I think he's dead. I think he's staying dead.
Yeah, right, walk it off.
What I do think also... Walk it off. What I think we... The way they introduced the new characters, I think, was done well with Scarlet Witch and the Vision. I love the Vision.
The entrance of the Vision was great.
Man. That was awesome.
Oh, that was perfect.
But after all that, like all powerful being, all he does is punch things.
Vision was the only good part of the movie for me.
Yeah, all he did was punch things. You're right. That's
he shot
that's
beams out of his head.
What? What are his powers? Fine. No one knows.
Well, he flies. He can phase through crap.
He flies. He has super strength.
Everyone's talking at the same time.
And he can use the mind gem to project.
We're gonna have a quiet moment because everyone was talking at the same time, which means y'all need a timeout. But I was just gonna say that what I think was interesting is that really what they did at the end of the film was set up an Avengers that is a lot less expensive to put on screen.
Yeah, because let me tell you what, Paul Bettany's not raking in Robert Downey Jr. money, that's for
sure. So we got the new, Don, out of the new people, so Don Cheadle's now an Avenger. Don Cheadle's way cheaper than Robert Downey Jr.
Right.
But he's still a good actor.
Well, no, he's phenomenal. No, he's a, so we've got War Machine, Scarlet Witch, The Vision, Falcon, and along with
new
along with Cap and Black Widow,
it's a good lineup.
Are now the Avengers because Iron Man has stepped out and Banner's gone off to La La Land, and Hawkeye's going back to his farm and saying, "Fuck it, I really like being on this farm." I will say Hawkeye's dialogue where he was just "I'm just a guy with a bow." Like it's just none of this.
You could shoot him in the back right now. No one ever know. What happened here?
Hawkeye was phenomenal in this movie. I loved every line that Hawkeye had. It was beautiful.
Hawkeye was my second favorite.
Who was your favorite?
With Age of Ultron, I think he said his favorite was The Vision. They effectively addressed the issue of whether or not Hawkeye actually had character.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love Vision.
Yeah, Nick loves Vision and Hawkeye, which is why he's going to be drawing some very entertaining fan art.
I love
if you would like to draw Nick drawing the Vision and Hawkeye in Slash Fic. Write to nerdandtie.com. Go to the contact form.
I don't want that.
If you would like to tell us never have this many people on the show at once again.
In Hawkeye Slash Fic.
Oh.
Dear God. All right. So where do we want to go from here? I'd be remiss if I didn't mention James Spader as Ultron.
James Spader was phenomenal.
I love all of you.
Despite the unevenness of the character, Spader did the best with what he was given, and what he did was phenomenal.
Every time he spoke, I got chills down my spine.
Yeah, no. James Spader played James Spader.
Sounded less like a dude bro, and probably more metallic.
Well, it's because they modeled his personality off of Tony.
He's baby Tony.
Yeah, that's the whole point. Is part of the whole point of Ultron is going to go into Civil War, where this is the mindset Tony's been developing. This is what this AI modeled itself on Tony. This is what's going to lead into Tony being the Tony required for Civil War.
I'm not saying his speech patterns. I'm saying his voice.
You would have liked more of like a synthesizer over it, probably. Yeah.
Something more tinny.
I thought his voice was great.
I thought his voice was great, and I think if you're gonna hire James Spader, you use the full Spader.
I think what she's saying is she doesn't want James Spader. I don't know.
Let's all look at Sean's hat.
It's better than what they did with Chris Eccleston and not using his voice.
Exactly.
At all.
That's true.
Could have had that.
In Thor 2, they totally did. Yeah, the Thor 2, I think, was the lesson that they learned, that they hired this guy with this phenomenal voice, and then they filtered the hell out of it, and you couldn't tell. They went the other direction with Ultron, where they chose not to filter it, and I think that was a better choice.
It worked.
Like, again, like chills down the spine. The minute he walks out and he's doing the whole there are no strings on me thing, like, I can feel it.
Ultron in general.
In me bones.
I am with Trey. I think Ultron's introduction didn't work, though. It
really didn't.
It was just kind of like, well, here he is.
Again, I think that goes back to the problem with the first third of the movie that was just really
Ultron
rushed.
Needed more build-up.
Yeah, like, I think that we would have done better with a build towards Ultron and, like, Ultron working for a while and not just, hey, we could experiment with this Ultron idea and then suddenly Ultron's fully functional.
On the other hand, the AI would go evil right away, wouldn't it? I mean,
it was just zero to evil in 2 seconds.
I think the jump to evil would have worked if Ultron had had enough time to establish himself, to creep into the net, to learn about humanity's history.
We saw it happen in a few seconds, right?
Yeah. Which I believe was a disservice to the viewer, and I think I overall love the movie, and that's really my only issue with the pacing of that first third, and I felt like it was like a rushed story for that section of the movie. That is literally my only complaint. It's like everything else I really loved, including lots of things that other people in this panel of far too many people were never.
We've got too many cooks.
Listeners at home, we thought 6 people was a good idea.
It was.
It works for the Avengers.
Does it? No, because what happens is that someone ends up being Hawkeye, even in the good one.
Hawkeye.
Well, okay, Hawkeye's good in the second one, but Hawkeye in the first movie
was not existent.
Cap in the second one.
Hawkeye was a villain in the first. Wasn't it you guys? I heard someone say that, like, Hawkeye being a villain in the first film was the best thing that could happen to that character because he is so useless on the Avengers team. No, that wasn't the show. I don't think that was the show.
That was a different show.
That was not.
Who else are you listening to, Sean? How dare you? I only listen to your podcast.
Can I say something?
No. No, yes, you can say something, Rana.
This guy sounds amazing.
I am amazing. Sorry.
I had a lot of fundamental problems with this version of Ultron. And a lot of it comes from the fact that why does he have so many of Ant-Man's characteristics when Ant-Man is nowhere to be seen? He has the mandibles on the outfit, and that makes no sense when it's based on Iron Man. He has a moving mouth, and he's also based off of Iron Man. He shouldn't have a moving jaw.
Well, because he wanted one.
Why does his metal mouth move like
because
that? Why does he have articulation in his lips? That's so stupid.
He's never had that in the comics. I'll point that out.
Now that you mentioned it, like, I didn't realize how much his face was like the Iron Man face until,
he doesn't have an Iron Man face.
Well, okay, so his drones look, so he has
Transformer Prime's Megatron's face.
Okay, so his, the drones had a much more Ultron face.
I prefer the drone design.
And I think what happened was is that they wanted like the lead Ultron unit to be able to express emotion and have facial expression, which you can't do with like with the static faces on those things.
Because Baymax worked.
Baymax was expressing very different emotions than Ultron. Cute and cuddly you can do with a two dots and a line. That's when the whole body's cute and cut. Now, I will say...
I really gotta see this
Baymax
movie.
If we could replace Ultron with Baymax visually, but keep James Spader's lines, I would pay twice as much to see that movie. I would pay 2 to 3 times as much to see that film. But that said, I think that what they wanted to do was get...
How infected are you on a scale of 1 to 10?
Viewers at home, if you will edit together Avengers Age of Baymax for me, I don't know what I'll do, but I'll do a huge favor for you.
Oh,
just,
God.
Holy crap.
I want it
so bad right now.
Oh, dear. Why don't we, since we're going on and on and plowing through time here, why don't we talk about how we think this is going to affect the Marvel Cinematic Universe as a whole and how we're going forward?
If people have managed to trudge through this thus far.
Outside, which is in the picture.
I'm sorry, Rena, we didn't hear you.
Rena hates Scarlet Witch, long story short. She just never liked the character, so.
I like Scarlet Witch, so you're wrong.
I do too.
No, I'm kidding.
Okay, let's see. Well, obviously, with the end of Age of Ultron, it's going to lead into Civil War. We see now that Tony is willing to go to a very dark place to do what he feels is right. And as Scarlet Witch said, he doesn't know the difference between saving the world and destroying it. And we know that Tony is going to be on pro-registration as a way to atone for his mistakes in Age of Ultron. And I think that's when his darker side is really going to start coming out.
That's assuming that this version of Civil War actually deals with the registration issue, because we don't have the mutants.
That, and we don't have secret identities, really.
And we don't have Inhumans yet, though, because Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver were not Inhumans.
Yeah, but there's a ton of Inhumans.
Yeah, that's right. They were mutants.
Yeah, I was gonna say there are a ton of Inhumans on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, they're.
That's assuming that they can somehow get like everybody caught up to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. though, because not everybody that watches the Marvel movies.
But they're telling the story in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and that will lead to the Inhumans film. And I'm sure when they write the Inhumans, remember Marvel doesn't want to do a lot of origin stories for these movies. They've said it, so that's why. I think that what they're doing is they're going to give the Inhumans a full origin in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and then introduce the movie when they finally do the Inhumans movie, which is quite a few years off.
And after Civil War.
Yeah, when they do the Inhumans movie, they are going to jump right into it. And they'll make it understandable for new viewers who don't, but I think that's part of why they've let S.H.I.E.L.D. do the origin story, is because they don't want the origin story. And I think, honest to God, you know, you don't really need the origin story for Inhumans that much.
Not really. Well, because
they're like mutants, only with alien shit.
Yeah.
Avoid them entirely and go straight to Miss Marvel. I would enjoy that more.
Captain Marvel.
No. I believe Raina's talking about Kamala Khan, Miss Marvel.
Yeah, I'm talking about Kamala Khan.
Who is an Inhuman.
I do not like Carol Danvers one bit.
I like Carol Danvers, but I like Kamala Khan better than I like almost any other character in the Marvel universe.
Kamala Khan is like the coolest member of the Marvel universe.
She is about to be a member of the Avengers, so...
She is a member of the Avengers now.
The free comic book day book, incidentally.
She got to say the phrase.
It was great. Go read that. That was fun. Nice. For the future, though.
For to answer your question, as far as I know, the registration stuff is happening, but instead of it focusing on secret identities, it's forcing superheroes to choose loyalties either to themselves or to world governments, and that's where the sense of conflict comes in. And Cap still thinks that it's a violation of civil liberties.
Gotcha. Nick, you were saying?
I was going to say one thing for setting up for the future. I totally agree with Trey's point, and I love Trey's point of we now have a much cheaper Avengers to film. But yep. Was anyone else amused by the fact that when Captain America is in charge of the Avengers, it's way more diverse? How there's two black guys and two women,
and yeah.
I'm just saying, he's got a much more diverse team than a bunch of white guys and one chick, I guess.
I like that. I like the new Avengers team precisely for that reason. And you still have quality actors all around.
All right. So,
it was already mentioned too earlier that we have a Black Panther setup. We have the introduction to the Black Panther's main villain.
With probably our third reference to Wakanda in the
second
MCU. But the weird part for me is it's really hard to kind of tell where this is going because you look at the way that everything has been set up in the Marvel Cinematic Universe thus far. The first phase was obviously a lead up to Avengers. Everything that happened in phase one was just to make the Avengers happen or make it happen. Then after the Avengers was done, pretty much everything after the Avengers was dealing with the fallout from the Avengers. Like there was maybe a couple things setting up Avengers 2, but really it didn't really feel like there was a lot of stuff in Avengers 2 that felt like a direct result from other than the Infinity Stones, obviously. But there's nothing that really setting up or like I feel like it's going in a direction like I felt like after the first Avengers movie did.
Yeah, because
Sean, go.
Iron Man 3 and Cap 2 were like the two sequels they had to the Avengers already. And this was such a stepping stone, no Infinity Gem, pun intended. Although, like, the discovery that the Mind Gem was in the staff, it's like they didn't even introduce any new stones in the storyline. Like, these are all retreads of the first film. So I don't feel like it really even did anything.
Building off of that, Sean, can we think about the fact that Thanos is the kind of guy who's like, I need another Infinity Stone. Hey, Asgardian, I've only just now met. Take this Infinity Stone to get me another one.
I don't think Thanos thought that Loki was going to fail.
I hope we don't lose both of them because that would suck.
Okay, here's the thing, right? Like he doesn't have any of them yet, really. I think this is part of his plan. He just needs to get them drawn out. He doesn't need them to be in his possession yet. He just needs them to be known and discovered.
And now he's going to do it himself.
Right.
It's
finally got out of the space lazy boy.
I look at the phase one movies, really the only ones you have to see before you go see the first Avengers are Captain America and Thor. And I think with this one, you only have to see, you could get away with just seeing Civil War and then I think Guardians of the Galaxy to lead into the Infinity Stone. I think Iron Man 3 would inform you a lot about Tony and also kind of introduce where the Iron Legion thing is coming from because he does that with the suits at the end of Iron Man 3. That is obviously where this Iron Legion thing is coming from. But I really think that with this series of films that so far it's just been you only really need to see two installments before the Avengers film to get through a phase, if you break it down for like what's narratively necessary to understand.
Yeah.
I want to say that I think we should probably get around to wrapping this thing up here because this has been a weird episode. But
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Why are people apologizing? Don't apologize while you're on the show, people. Apologize after the show. No.
Could everyone go around and just get their
right.
2 cents?
That's what I was gonna do. For my 2 cents, I was gonna say that I think the film was overall I liked it. I think it was the weaker of the if you compare it and the first Avengers, I think it was weaker than the first Avengers, and I think it was weaker than the two with Avengers 1. I felt the two phase 1 movies you had to watch to really understand it weren't quite as good as Avengers. In this case, I think it's the other way around, where the two movies you had to see to watch this were slightly better. Like I think both Civil War and Guardians of the Galaxy were better.
Don't you mean Winter Soldier?
Yes, I meant Winter Soldier. I've been saying Civil War, haven't I? I meant Winter Soldier. Winter Soldier and Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm tired.
Don't blame me, Trey. Don't blame
me. No, don't.
Everyone
don't
blame
watch
me.
Guardians of the Galaxy because it's a better Avengers 2 than Avengers 2 was.
Right? Can somebody just reinsert the scene? I look around here and you know what I see? Losers. I mean, people that have lost things.
Oh, dear God. So, what were your opinions?
My opinion is that I really I had a couple of issues with it. Overall, it was really good. I not really good. It was a good Avengers movie. I mean, it was what I paid for. I'm not going out there and saying it's awful. Don't go see it. Go see it. It's important to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. The acting and dialogue were spot on. James Spader was great. Everybody was great in it. It is what it was. It was a summer blockbuster movie that's going to set up more summer blockbuster movies.
All right, Nick and Raina.
You go first.
I'm still pretty lukewarm on this movie. It is worth seeing. I think it's probably the weakest of the Avengers entries, and I would put it on my weaker scale of the overall Marvel universe.
Better than Incredible
I've described
Hulk.
This. It's still above Hulk, Thor 2, and Iron Man 2. But I'm more to the point that this movie is the everything. For a sandwich that you have really to put everything in your pantry on, it tastes okay. But it probably would have been better
if you left out the anchovies.
If you wouldn't have put everything on it. There's just too much, and it does well with some of the things, but it would have done better to cut a lot here and there. That's my
even cut out Loki.
Final thought.
Yeah, they cut out Loki. There was supposed to be a Loki scene, and they cut it out.
All right.
Yay!
So, Raina, your thoughts before our audience lynches you.
Oh, what?
Boo. Yeah, that was bad taste. Boo.
Inappropriate.
What?
I would have been happier had they killed the female characters.
Wow.
And
wow.
I honestly would have been happy had they had Hank Pym create
Ultron,
because I can't even remember the robot's name.
I wish you hadn't said that last part.
And I would have rather had a separate movie for the Vision. I did not like this movie at all.
No one will ever accuse Raina of being afraid to share an unpopular opinion. Which is actually, honestly, it's actually why we brought you on the show.
Certainly made for some good discussion.
Bring on the hate.
Right.
I respond beautifully.
All right, Sean.
Oh, hey. So I feel like this would have been a stronger film if it had been a Scarlet Witch origin movie, which now that I hear what I've heard makes sense why I didn't go that way with it. But like, say you have an opening scene where it's her and her brother under the bed, show don't tell, guys. And then it flashes forward to the current day. So then we have a little bit better idea of who these people are, because like, we're supposed to kind of know from the extra scene at the end of Cap who they are, and we don't, right? Just from the movie itself. So if they like made the Avengers kind of like backseat characters to her origin and like discovered who they were through the mind control gimmick and everything. I mean, I'm glad Hawkeye got his moment in the sun and everything. And I would be married to Lindsay from Freaks and Geeks too, if I had the chance. Sorry, honey. But
from the live action Scooby-Doo movies.
That too. But she was in Freaks and Geeks first.
Don't interrupt Sean.
But when I realized at the end that this is kind of like Scarlet Witch's origin film, I wish they kind of just gone with it 100%, and then I would have probably erased most of my problems with it.
All right, and Random.
Overall, I thought the film was okay. It wasn't as good or great as I thought it would be, but what they did right, they did well. The characters were still spot on. The acting was great. I still have a problem with the Hulk-Tasha romance, but that's just me. I thought James Spader was great as Ultron. Aaron Taylor-Johnson and Elizabeth Olsen did a great job with what they had for Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch. But I do hope that the extended version that they're going to release on Blu-ray and DVD clarifies and fixes some of the issues that we have with the movie.
Okay.
Well, Liz did an Avengers episode, and I didn't gooze about Captain America once.
His costume.
Well, it's because Captain America was the Hawkeye of this movie.
Pretty much.
Because the entire budget on costuming was spent on Captain America and no one else.
Well, it's because no, it's he's like how Hawkeye had no characterization in the first Avengers. It's they flip flopped Hawkeye and Cap. It's fine. It's because there's too many goddamn characters.
No, it's fine. Raina was just saying it's funny because Cap had probably the best costume of the team in this movie.
Everyone else shopped at Goodwill.
Okay, so Nick, take us home.
All right. This is Nerd and Ty, and we have way too many people.
Too many cooks.
Thank you, Random Raina and Sean Orange, for being on the show. I'm still Nick Izumi.
I'm Trey Dorn.
And I am, as far as I know, Firsters.
Please remember that you can rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher and subscribe to us using those services. And remember, we are coming back next week with a regular episode. So always, if you had different opinions about the movie, go to nerdandtie.com and click on the contact form and let us know what you thought about Age of Ultron.
And please, Jesus, don't think of the rest of the show compared to this episode.
Oh, sweet God. Oh.
And if you paid for me, send it to my Twitter.
I'm just going to run away. Nick, say your catchphrase.
Keep on Spockin' in the free world.
All right.